Tama Potaka is with us today. Thanks for your time, Tama. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. I just want to acknowledge you for the respect that you show the people you interview, like Takuta and others. Mihi ana ki a koe.
Thank you. Thanks. I think it's important we encourage our people to put their hands up. It's tough turf in local and central government. So even though they
Well, what about tribal government? What about tribal government?
So, yeah, I take your point. Don't join your local rugby league club either, Kibbity. It's also pretty it's pretty tough in there.
But what about the Warriors, mate? The Warriors.
Yeah, well, we're all pretty pleased about that. I see Joey Manu now going to the Chiefs, and my mate Rangi was saying that they've got their eyes on Adi Savia. Isn't that strange that, you know, a country that looks poor has got so much money to play league with? But anyway, we're a little offline here. I wanted to touch on social media bans, only because this one caught a few by surprise. I'm assuming that Chris spoke to you, or in fact the wider National Caucus, about it before saying that they would support a ban. Obviously, little chance of maybe even a first reading before the House rises. What's your gut instinct here, though? Support or not?
Absolutely. Look, this issue has been discussed for many, many years across a wide, diverse range of communities and audiences. And one of the challenges, of course, is endless streaming by our young people. That's not good for them. And actually, my wife said, can we have a specific ban for Tama too? Stop his endless streaming on Wātea podcasts. But importantly, you know, we've taken action, we've listened to the people, and we're getting on with it.
Yeah, I know Aussie or states in Aussie have tried it. Have there been definitive results about its success?
There have been some results in Australia and what they've been doing. There's a lot less usage of social media by young people over there. But, you know, there are some challenges, and there's some steps that we need to take to ensure that ultimately the legislation is introduced, but it also has enforcement that goes with it.
Okay, we'll have to see how this one pans out. I see that your coalition partners aren't keen, but again, you know, probably got more pressing issues on their minds with the election so close and the race so tight. The government says the first tranche of housing flexible funds is going to deliver 820-odd homes across 9 regions, with the first homes expected from July of next year. With your associate housing portfolio, given our country's long history of housing targets slipping, what specific accountability measures are you going to use to ensure community housing providers actually deliver these homes on time and within budget? And what consequences will there be, Tama, if projects fall behind?
Well, we're pragmatic and realistic. We don't go making claims and promises of 100,000 Kiwi-built homes, Dale. We're really focused on making sure the people that we work with have the credibility and ability to deliver. Sometimes that falls short, but I'm really proud of where we've got to with the Flexible Fund. And, of course, many, many whānau and Māori organisations who are involved in the Flexible Funding kaupapa, for example, the Waitomo Papakainga Development Society, Katie Murray and others up north, and the Te Heku Development Trust. You've got folks like Te Runanga or Te Runanga Nui Ākiwa, Te Whare Tō Group and Home and Place out of the Eastern Bay of Plenty. Our focus is on those areas, those locations with very, very high levels of housing deprivation. And that's why we've really gone after Te Tai Tokoro, Te Tai Rāwhiti, the Eastern Bay of Plenty, Te Rāwhiti, places like Hastings and Christchurch, and engaging with community and Māori housing providers to deliver these homes. Many of them will be 1- and 2-bedroom homes, because often that's where the need is, though.
Tēnā koe. I want to touch on some conservation funding issues, if you don't mind, mate. I see that the DOC Community Fund awarded $9.2 million to 20 projects, yet applications reportedly sought more than $69 million in funding. With such a significant gap between demand and available support, what criteria, Tama, ultimately determined which communities succeeded? And does this level of unmet demand suggest conservation is still being underinvested in?
Well, I think we all can acknowledge that we can do more for the tile, and that's why I've been right behind organisations like Rau Kumara Pai Maunga, who have been working feverishly over the last 6 to 8 years, wiping out ungulates, goats and pigs and possums over in the Rau Kumara range. But in terms of the community fund, absolutely, there's been regular outstripping of demand for the pūtea provided. That's not just this year, that's in many years gone by as well. But one of the key criteria is to make sure that applicants have co-investors alongside them. So a great example is the Chatham Islands restoration work that's going to eliminate feral cats from Pitt Island, Rangihaute, and also bring down the feral pig population. We put up around $1.5 million out of the community fund, and they have secured around $2 million extra co-investment from overseas. Now, going in together and partnering with philanthropics and businesses and others is right down the bailiwick of my way of seeing conservation, but also the National Party way, which is partnering with people on the ground to do the mahi. And I'm very, very enthused about people like the Te Kāhui or Taranaki restoring the coastal turf system out on the Taranaki coast, and the East Taranaki Environment Trust, who just inland Taranaki are doing marvellous work to restore ecosystems to enable kōkako and others to survive. I also got to mention Maunga Tautere, great place, Ngāti Koroki Kahukura, out there in what often is referred to as Century Mountain, but we call it Maunga Tautere, don't we?
Yeah, it's an amazing conservation kaupapa there, and big ups to the local people who've made it such a treasured environment now. Speaking of treasured environments, I know you went down to Rekohu a week or so back, and now the government investing nearly $2 million into cat and pig control, cat eradication, pig control programs across the Chathams. How big is the problem?
Oh, the feral cat problem on a place like Pitt Island or Rangihaute is massive. Don't forget, this island and these islands are the home and natural habitat for our taonga species like the tūturuatu, the shore plover, and the black robin. You remember all that from the 1980s, Dale? You and me were there, young men in those days. But restoring that ecosystem, getting rid of cats and reducing the feral pig population is critical to enable these threatened species to come back to life.
I see you've been at Temple View for a dance.
Yes, Temple View, absolutely. Of course, my wife went to Church College of New Zealand, one of the great schools of New Zealand, when it was opened, and Temple View is part of the Hamilton West electorate. Going out to listen to people like Jamie Ferguson and his brother George, Ryan Monger jumped up on the bass, you know, very, very entertaining, but also energising to be with that community, Temple View, our whānau from the Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and having a bit of fun, but also pressing the flesh and listening to their concerns.
Yeah, Tenaki, are you a member too? Or?
I'm not a member, but my wife is. And of course, I go to the Mackay Ward 12 o'clock on Sundays, sometimes with Bishop Hemi. I also go to the St. Peter's Anglican Church, given my Anglican roots, Dale.
Tenaki. Well, our uncles lived at Temple View, so we're pretty familiar with the place. Played league on the field and been to a few shindigs myself too at Temple View, because a lot of our Māori people built that temple back in the 1950s.
Oh, my wife's grandparents were part of that migration from Mangamuka and that part of the world down to being missionaries and to support the building, not just of the temple, but also the community. So a lot of brickies, a lot of sparkies, a lot of carpenters came out of that mahi.
Yeah. I always give the elders a wave when I see them on their push bikes. Most of them are interesting, interesting young fellas, you know, from all parts of the world. So, but got a bit of a sort of Mormon connection there. Although, like you, I'm not a member, but sort of as a result
of the principles and the mahi that they do, particularly the relief societies out there, Wahine Toa from the church going out to support whānau. Hey, one thing I just wanted to mention too was that passing of the Te Here Anuku legislation, Dale.
Please.
And the Nelson Tents, a long-standing property claim, oldest property claim in New Zealand, to be taken through the courts, and the work that Dora Stafford and his wife and whānau and the people down there, descendants of the customary owners of the land on the top of the south, doing some marvellous work to get that legislation passed, to finalise it, I understand, royal assent this week. And it brings to close a long-standing chapter around our lands based on a fiduciary and trust relationship, not based on treaty relationships, but just recognising the people involved, you know, Karenza Johnson, Jamie Tudor, George Stafford, Hemi Sundgren are the four negotiators now, but particularly Dora Stafford, Lynn Stafford, and the many, many trustees and tupuna, karaua and kuia, who fought for that for over 150 years.
And I can sense there's some collaborative approaches needed, bearing in mind some of the land returned is sensitive, and of course leasehold leasing opportunities too for Ngāi Māori interests in and around Nelson City.
Pragmatic arrangements, Dale, pragmatic.
Good man. No taxes, Tama, no taxes.
Yep. No, Māori do not want more tax on our whānau or our land, Dale. No way.
No way. Good talking with you again, Tama. We'll catch up with you again soon. Thank you.
Ngā mihi matua. Ka kite.
Tēnā koe. Thanks very much. Tama Pōtaka with us on Tuesdays, more by accident than design, preceding our rich corridor with...